Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday? Yes, it feels like it's been a week since yesterday, but it is only Tuesday. It is the second day of legal tampering in the National Football League. And as far as the Packers are concerned, things have gone pretty darn quiet, which I think most people probably expected after a couple signings yesterday. No updated news for the green and gold, although anything could happen while I'm live. So we'll see if the Packers are watching and go, hey, let's shoot some news out there now that Nagler's on the socials. In the meantime, plenty to talk about after yesterday's signings. And of course, there is some trepidation among certain segments of the fan base, some more than others, in regards to not only how will they rush the passer, who's going to be going deep at wide receiver, but also I've seen rumblings of, oh, all the other teams in the division are getting better. The Packers have done precious little. It's all over. Packers are going to finish third place at best. And I will say, I understand the doom and gloom from certain types of fans. It's how some people just, how they're wired and how they fan. And I get it. It's legitimate. However you feel is how you feel. But this probably isn't the channel for you. That's all I'm going to say about that. Because, man, can you just like let it breathe a little bit? Can we have the new league year actually begin before we damn the 2025 Green Bay Packers into oblivion? I mean, I know. I understand. It was hard to watch them lose all but one game against the division last year, and even that one was on a wing and a prayer of a blocked field goal at the last second. But who do they play on Sunday? It's a long way to go here in this offseason. Team building is a 365-day-a-year process. We got many days between now and when they lace them up in week one, whatever date that ends up being on. I'm begging people to take a breath when it comes to, oh, it's all over before it even begins. That's just me. That's just how I fan. Your mileage may vary. But I did want to talk a little bit about Nate Hobbs before we get into your questions and comments. I see people already filling up the comments section. Good to see everybody. The Hobbs thing is very interesting. The signing, I think a lot of people were expecting a cornerback in free agency, but obviously Hobbs wasn't a name that was floated much, if at all, in connection with the Packers. I love the addition simply because of his versatility and the amount he has played at a high level inside. Now, I know you've probably read and heard on other podcasts throughout the past day or so about what he did while he was a Raider and the year he spent on the perimeter. Most of his time with the Raiders was spent in the slot along the interior. And the initial reporting from Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette yesterday was that the plan to start out was to have Hobbs play outside. But then this morning, Bill Huber put out a report when he was grading the acquisition that he had heard from a source inside the building that, yes, the plan is to play him outside initially, on early downs in particular, when they're in base, but then to kick him inside to the slot position or along the interior when they get into obvious passing situations. And this kind of goes to what we talked about yesterday, both here on Daily and my discussion with Andy Herman last night, which thank you to all of you who showed up for that. That was a lot of fun. But this idea of versatility and the ability to mix and match, not only within your scheme, but depending on which opponent you're facing and what their makeup might be. One thing that I think has gotten maybe lost in the shuffle here when it comes to Hobbs' game is there's been a lot that I've seen. Bill mentioned it in his piece, and I've seen people talking about it on social. As he is a poor tackler. The numbers are not good. You can't gloss over that. You can't wish it away. It is there. It is an issue that he is going to have to, you know, maybe not correct, but hopefully get better at and better on. But I do think one of the things that spending some of earlier today watching some cut-ups and some tape from not just this past year, but from his time in the NFL, what I do like about him, even though, yes, he occasionally will miss a tackle, is he is a willing tackler. He is not afraid of the physical aspect of the football games. And that is something that will be, I think, welcome to a Packers defense that, you know, eyes on the quarterback, eyes in the backfield. This is a vision-based defense, as you've heard many times, both from LaFleur and Hafley. This is a guy who's going to see ball and get ball, and he is not afraid to throw himself in there. And sometimes, yes, he will miss a tackle, but a lot of times, especially in the run game, he helps make the play. It's not necessarily he's always going to get credit for it, but he does great work when it comes to forcing things back inside to his help, which feels like a pretty obvious thing. But man, that's how big runs rumble to life, is by corners who don't do that, right? And get trapped or basically pinned inside to let the ball carrier get outside. Hobbs does a really good job in that regard. And playing from the slot, he is a guy who is not afraid to throw himself in there against tight ends, even against offensive tackles. He's a physical dude. Now, I know the other concern here is that he has spent a lot of time on the sideline. He is a guy who has been injured. And maybe the move to the perimeter, especially on early downs, will help alleviate some of that, some of the number of injuries that he's suffered so far in his career, playing predominantly inside, closer to the line of scrimmage, or I'm sorry, closer to the actual offensive line, to the run action, etc. Maybe moving him outside, he's prone to be kind of running downfield a lot more rather than sticking his nose in there against the run and the physical aspect of the game. Hopefully that helps keep him on the field a little bit more. But man, I will tell you, I am really excited about the signing. And again, for the amount of versatility it provides Halfley. And something else we talked about a lot yesterday was the idea that if someone does go down, you do not have to completely overhaul your secondary because of an injury inside of a game. Say Bullard goes down. Well, now you've got a guy who's got plenty of experience kicking inside and playing the slot on early downs, even though that might not be what he practiced all week. He's done it for 3 out of his 4 years in the NFL so far. Just things like that, where I just like the idea of, again, something we did talk about a lot heading into free agency, raising the talent floor in the cornerback room. It certainly does that. And his versatility gives Jeff Halfley a lot of options, not only in game, but specifically game planning to specific opponents. Very excited about it. Can't wait to see him out on the field in the green and gold. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Mixing it up. Matthew starting us off with a super chat. I like our track record with former Raiders cornerbacks. You're not lying. Not just with Keyshawn Nixon, but going all the way back to Charles Woodson. Let's do it. It's funny, on Blue Sky yesterday, someone had brought up the timing of Woodson signing back in the day. And until that moment, I had kind of, you know, it's not top of mind, obviously. It's not something I'm thinking about all the time. But man, I don't think people remember. Woodson was signed the week before the draft back in the day. And it was after Brett Favre had been down in Mississippi, kind of incredulously talking to the media on the porch of whatever home he was in and saying how they needed to make a move, whatever. And then Ted Thompson signed Charles Woodson the week before the NFL draft. Glory days, man. That was a great time to be a Packers fan right there. Randy Lewis, how are you? Hope you're well. Halfley has options at almost every position in the secondary. Mix and match until we find what works. Very much agreed, Brandy. I do think it was interesting in the light of that signing, because he has played so much in the slot, Hobbs, that is, you know, people did instantly wonder what does that mean for Javon Bullard? I think Bullard is still your guy on early downs and quote unquote base, which is usually nickel at this point. But I do think, you know, you get into that multiple wide receiver world that some teams like to employ, there's a decent chance you got two guys. You know, you go dime, you've got Hobbs and Bullard able to play up on the line of scrimmage. One of them perhaps rushing the quarterback, one of them in coverage, et cetera, flipping their hips, taking a tight end down the seam or back out of the backfield, things of that nature. Again, that's if a team spreads you out. Like now a team buttons it up, I suspect, yeah, you'll still have Bullard in the slot, but Hobbs will be outside and you'll have Keyshawn on the other side. I love the idea of Evan Williams settling in opposite Xavier McKinney. We'll see if that transpires, but I would suspect that would be the hope and expectation heading into next year. Marshall Duke, how are you, man? In an edge-rich draft, do you think Brian double dips to that position like he has at wide receiver, cornerback, or safety in the past? I think it's a possibility. I'm not going to say it's, you know, dead set definitely going to happen, but I certainly think the talent is there. I actually just had a conversation with Justice about the pass rush in general, possible additions in free agency still. That just dropped a little bit ago here on the channel. Make sure you check that out. But I don't doubt for a moment there's a possibility he doubles up at edge. I think there's a decent possibility he doubles up at defensive tackle. That you talk about a talent-rich class. This class at DT is super deep. So I wouldn't be surprised if 23 was a defensive tackle, and then they took another one on day three. But yes, I definitely think doing so at edge is certainly a possibility, but I think it's more likely a defensive tackle. That would be my guess. Jocelyn, how are you? Appears Banks is a road grader, typically not their all offensive line type. His RIS suggests this. Seems film does too. Green Bay leaning even more into the power running game. I don't know about even more. I think they just want to do what they did last year, probably at a higher clip and a more efficient clip. For all the success they had on the ground last year, there was still like plenty of room for improvement. And I don't doubt for a moment the ability to work some of those double teams and perhaps get back to some of the zone stuff and more duo type stuff that they did in 2023 so successfully. His addition shouldn't preclude that. I think there's always going to be a bit of a mix, but I do think if you're talking about like, what does his addition mean? I think it means a continuation of what they did successfully last year, but at a higher, more efficient clip. That would be my guess, while sprinkling in probably some more zone stuff than they did, a higher percentage of zone stuff than they saw last year. Joe, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Does losing Slayton mean Kenny Clark goes back to playing more nose tackle, or does that depend on who they draft? I would very much suspect it would depend on the draft, Joe, but there's a decent chance, yes, you will most likely see Kenny at nose tackle a bit more after the loss of Slayton. It's always interesting this time of year. We hear and talk a lot about, you know, got to play Kenny less, got to find a way to get Kenny rest, etc. And then he ends up playing 80, 90% of the snaps each and every week. I do hope they find a rotation where he can be fresh legged throughout a game, throughout a season. But that's going to be, I think, somewhat dependent on the draft class. I do not doubt for a moment they will add at that position. Whether it's a pure nose tackle remains to be seen. I would suspect that's probably unlikely, but you never really know. Maybe especially on day three, if they find a guy who has the athleticism that they like up front, but still fits that kind of nose tackle mold, maybe they pull the trigger there. But I do think, yeah, it would trend. It would look to be trending that way, but there's a ways to go yet, especially with the draft. Dennis, we need more cowbell. No doubt. Big B is here. What's up, Big B? How you doing? What is this? 2 days in a row, we got Big B up here in the channel. What's going on? My goodness. Really, really fun stuff. Oh, Brandy, you are not incorrect. I really hope Wicks has a better year, progression and all. Yeah, I mean, the progression and all, the and all being holding on to the football. I mean, he does everything you need him to do. He just doesn't complete it, you know? This is the thing where, you know, receivers in the league can sometimes come in and light it up right away, but more often than not, it will take a year or two. And the hope would be, yeah, he continues to progress and starts becoming more of a technician and or dotting those I's and crossing those T's. I mean, we talk about catching the ball. That's a very easy kind of thing to look at and go, yep, that needs to improve. But look at the route he runs in the playoff game where that ends in an interception by Darius Slay. You know, it's a small thing, but the fact that he doesn't stack his defensive back there, which could have helped prevent that interception, it's a small thing, but those are the kind of details you need down in and down out. And I hope, and I would suspect throughout this offseason, those are the types of things he's going to be focused on to try and hit the ground running at once camp opens up, at least. Oh, New York Cheesehead, it's an excellent question, and it's a big component to how the Packers can be successful or will be successful rushing the passer in 2025. Does LVN wake up this year? Packers are certainly hoping so. And look, we're so early yet. There's so much ball game left when it comes to adding any kind of bodies and or talent to the edge group, to the front in general, that, you know, I'm going to reserve judgment. But right here, sitting here today, does feel like the idea would be continuing to let him develop and planning on a big jump for the progression to kick in, so to speak. And look, historically, defensive line in the NFL, especially in this 4-3 scheme, does take a few years for guys to hit. I mean, you don't have to look much further. It's a different position, but look at Devontae Wyatt. He was very inconsistent those first couple of years. He looked absolutely like a player last year. Problem, of course, was that he couldn't stay on the field because of the injuries, but it looked like the light had gone on, finally. Hopefully that happens for LVN. Now, of course, the only thing that I keep hearing in the back of my head whenever I talk about the hope for LVN to take this next step, hope is not a plan. And if your plan, your entire plan is, we have fired the defensive line coach, Covington's going to come in, coach this kid up, and we're going to unlock whatever it is that's lying in wait. I don't know, it doesn't feel like much of a plan, but these folks have forgotten more football than I'll ever know. Their whole kind of work and job in personnel is to project. It is in projection. It is not about what you have done. It's about what you're doing going forward. And if they don't add to the pass rush and they do stand pat at edge, that would appear to be their plan. So we shall see. Nick D, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. I completely believe that you get better by doing, and this year LVN takes that much needed step forward with increased reps. Go Pack, go. Well, that is a key component, is getting him on the field for more ops. I do not doubt that for a moment. I mean, it's disconcerting when you're in year two as the 13th overall pick and you're being outsnapped by, you know, a former fifth rounder at Enagbare and former undrafted dudes like Brenton Cox Jr. Got to get on the field to make any kind of difference. So we shall see and we shall hope. Kerry Bishop, how are you? Thanks for checking out the stream. Nags, what signing news today from the Packers? Nothing. If you were betting, who might sign Rodgers, Pittsburgh or the Vikings? I think the Giants have a much better chance of signing Rodgers than the Vikings do. I would be shocked if the Vikings signed him. I want it for the narrative and for the drama and for all of the fun back and forth we'd have with Vikings fans. But yeah, I think it's between the Giants and the Steelers. It sounds like the Giants are trying to make a hard pitch. And, you know, we'll probably get an idea either tonight or maybe tomorrow. I think Aaron will make his choice, but I mean, it's a real toss-up right now. I'd suspect, if I had to guess, I would say the Giants, but I think Tomlin's a strong pull. Obviously, they got the receivers there in Pittsburgh. But yeah, I got to think Dable, the Giants, everything they've done, especially adding to the defense, going to have a damn good defense over there with the Giants. And, you know, you've got a young, exciting wide receiver in New York. Yeah, I just think it's the Giants. Mostly because, you know, you don't want to move again. You just stay in New York. But we shall see. William, thanks for the super chat, man. Do you think Brenton Cox takes a step forward? A bit of one. I do think it's interesting how productive he was despite the scheme change, right? And the fact that he was on the bench inactive for 9 weeks prior to the trade of Preston Smith, and then he gets on the field and is instantly, maybe not insanely productive, but he provided something, right? And this was a guy who had been playing, you know, edge in the 3-4 his entire NFL career up to that point. And then this first year in the new scheme, he really seemed to take to it. I do think he's able to continue to provide some help when it comes to the pass rush. And he certainly didn't play the run poorly last year. But I can't believe that is the plan. Again, I got to think there's going to be some kind of addition either between free agency or the draft to augment that room. That doesn't mean that he can't contribute, because I think he can and will. But I wouldn't expect Brenton Cox Jr. to be a huge part of an improved pass rush. Ed, how are you, man? What's the hierarchy of draft decision makers with the Packers? Well, it all ends one place with Brian Gutekunst. But there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen, as it were. There are a lot of folks who, you know, have their hand in every selection, whether it's the area scouts who do the initial work, kind of tracking prospects, which is a much crazier proposition now than it used to be with NIL and so much movement and guys going to different schools two or three at a time in their collegiate careers. But the area scouts track all that and do all that work. And then they will, you know, write up their reports. And then the guys like, you know, John Eric Sullivan or Clint, whose name is last name is escaping me right now, Hendrickson. They, you know, they go Milt Hendrickson. Sorry, they go out and they maybe not redouble those efforts, but they certainly get their own kind of look at the players. And then there's the annual kind of, I want to say all hands or come to Jesus, where the entire group personnel wise gets in a room and goes through each prospect, and the area scouts present their work, and the whole group talks through it. And guys like, you know, the top lieutenants like John Eric Sullivan will give their two cents to Brian and the positives and negatives as they set the board. But ultimately, Brian's job is to take in all that information and then, you know, make sure that he's got a plan as far as the strength of the board, where it falls, what they expect to be available to them. If those things don't materialize, what is your plan to kind of maneuver out or maneuver down? And then that job becomes Brian's as far as pulling the trigger. And he has the ultimate authority. Doesn't mean there aren't a lot of hands kind of in the mix, so to speak. It is always kind of fun to hear who was first on the scene, so to speak, when you, you know, hear about how guys became Packers and got drafted and who was there initially on campus doing the work with them. But ultimately, all that information leads up to the general manager having to make the decision. And that is why they call it sitting in the big chair. 27 Tampa, I appreciate the super sticker. Very much appreciated. Daryl, how are you, man? Good to see you. Brandy, that's a good question. First year for policy, and he needs to lead the draft setup. Hope he has some aspirin on him at all times. Well, what's good for him, Brandy, is that he is not leading it. It is still Murphy's baby. Murphy's final day won't be until June, when he turns 70 years old, which is when he will be, by the bylaws, forced to retire. So policy is still waiting in the wings, so to speak, when the draft goes on in Green Bay. Now, that doesn't mean he's not heavily involved. Of course he is. He's a big time component for everything that happens, especially on a business side with the Green Bay Packers right now, but that is still Murphy's baby. Everything with the Packers is until June. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember his exact birthday off the top of my head, but it is in June when he turns 70 years old. Rob, from your Facebook message to God's ears, late season bye this week. We'll see this season. We'll see, man. I would love a kind of recalibration at the end of, say, November. And I know sometimes, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about a mid-season bye week, which I think is great. Yes, I understand people want the kind of delineation of the halfway mark of the season. But I think for the football team, having that break three-fourths of the way through the season is a whole hell of a lot better when you're gearing up to make that final push into the playoffs and hopefully make a run. I like the idea of a bye week landing week 10, 11, maybe even 12. I just like the ability to recalibrate there from an injury standpoint and get hopefully a couple guys back while you try and kind of make a run to the playoffs. That's just me. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.